Yeah, ready when you are. Everybody want to turn their mics on?
In my lifetime, I've never seen an election run more horribly against Santa. I've never seen a no more.
Alrighty, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. If we can have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan.
She's not here, she's excused.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
Supervisor Perez.
Not here. Okay. All right. And then on to approval of summary proceedings from the October 19th regular meeting. Has everybody had a chance to take a look-see through? No.
It's a little late.
Okay. All righty. So then do I have a motion to receive and file?
I'll make a motion.
Okay. All in favor? Or I have anything to second. I'm sorry.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. In go. All right. Consent agenda. What do we have?
Correspondence.
Once again, we have no correspondence. Okay. On to item D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on the agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made by or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please come up to the podium. State your name and address for the record. Before making your presentation, speakers are limited to 2 minutes. And if I could just remind everybody to please turn their phones down or off so that we're not disrupted during the meeting. So we'll start on table one. Anything? Table two? Have something?
Yes, we were invited by Commissioner Madigan.
Okay.
So we don't know if you want to speak on the 2 minute mark or.
Nick, are they on the agenda or should we just have them do public presentations?
Public presentation.
Okay, so then let's go ahead and have you go ahead and do your presentation.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, up there,
right. Yeah, come on up to the podium here.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay? Thank you, Chairwoman, for allowing us to come in. My name is Daniel Mariano. I'm the Operations Director with Sox Rescue. We are a local 501 nonprofit here in Kern County. We recently set up shop on Stockdale Highway. We are running a small adoption center that specializes in neonate kittens up to 8 weeks. We are currently working with municipal agencies of primarily Bakersfield Animal Care Center. We are, our partnership consists of taking their felines off of their kilts, or their put to sleep list. One thing I wanted to step back on and clarify is that we are a cat-only agency. We specialize only in cats, and our whole primary objective is to save as many as possible. We work with felines that are either deemed special needs, seniors, or again, neonate. We've been operating now for 4 years. We originally out in San Bernardino County. We were going to set up our first brick and mortar in LA County, but speaking with family and friends that live in Kern County and addressing and seeing the current kill rates in the past 3 years, we felt in our hearts that it was the best to come to Kern County and set up shop. So we are small, and we are trying our best to help out and assist the community as much as possible. Since we have launched in September, we have for quarter three, we've successfully conducted over 110 adoptions in under 100 days. And for quarter four, we are on pace and trending in that same direction. We are hoping and projected for next fiscal year to hopefully accomplish 500 adoptions. We are here right now with speaking out, reaching out to the community, not just to introduce ourselves, but in asking for support as well. We are a nonprofit. We have no government funding or anything else. Everything we've had has been from generous support from all of our donors and constituents. If it's with the support of our current donors that we have right now, that we're able to do everything that we have been able to achieve. We'd like to actually branch out and work with the county on a more intimate level. And this was the best direction that we were pointed into to coming in and introducing ourselves. I apologize, we are still new to this whole entire scene. Like I said, we are still getting our feet wet, but we are very proactive and ambitious, and we want to help and support the county as much as possible. Our center is open Monday through Friday, but we're not open every day. We are still short-staffed. We have no paid staff at the moment, so everything, all of our operations are completely run off of volunteers. I know right now one of our programs that we're working on is we're working with Purina and Banfield Foundation. We're trying to establish a low-income program that will provide food and litter for low-income families. We're still hashing out the kinks on that, but once that is fully up and running, we'll go ahead and let everyone know. But that's all I have. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you. We'll have questions for you, I'm sure.
Yes.
We'll start at this end.
Just hold it down.
Say it again?
Just hold the power button down until it turns green.
Yay. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Welcome, by the way.
There you are.
Thank you. So,
there you go.
Thank you. I'm back. No more sugar. I have been working with Daniel and his gang from Sox Rescue. I accidentally ran into them because of a little kid named Penny. Was at my house on the bed asleep. And I've spent a lot of time talking to Daniel and them, and I've been impressed. I think they're doing a good job as far as adapting procedures and guidelines that are appropriate. They're all very young. I told them they need to start looking at old people because old people have money. Not me, of course. But anyway, I invited them here tonight. I wanted to just have them connect with some of the movers and shakers in the animal community. They are struggling financially, so they need to tap into resources that are going to help them on a long-term basis. Not, well, they'll take single donations, but long-term resources to help them. We definitely need cat rescues here. We only have cat people, as far as I know. Oprah's kind of not up and running, really. And if anybody has any ideas on how they can tap into local resources more, I'm sure they'd be more than willing to listen.
I'm still reading this. It's really interesting. I love your cats over coffee part. Yeah. We'll see that in the brochure. But no questions yet.
Okay. Daniel, right?
Can you hear me okay?
No.
Testing. All right.
There you go.
We're glad you're here because one of our weak links is, the fostering, and you're taking the animals that are from newborn to what age?
8 weeks.
8 weeks, okay, that's great. That's a link that we need filled. Our fostering is improving, but you would help subsidize that effort, and that's excellent. How are you funded? How do you make money over there? How does that work?
Our donors, honestly. We are still learning the ropes. We're applying for grants.
Okay.
Some grants, because we've only been operating for 4 years, we don't qualify for. We are still working and hashing out our program guidelines for different initiatives. So that's where it really kind of boils down to. But we have private donors that come in and they support our kitten nursery. Our kitten nursery is probably our most strains part of everything we got going on. Is pretty expensive for us, but we do have donors that privately fund that part of our organization. But we don't just take in kittens. We do take in the special needs, the seniors, We're trying to set up a program right now for seniors. It's a senior for seniors program where we waive the adoption fees, but we also supply and provide food and litter with them. The food and litter is being provided via Purina and Maricopa. They recently just donated 5,000 pounds of litter to us.
That's a lot of litter.
And they just contacted us again for another 5,000, so we can. They're trying to work with us to kickstart our low income program.
What is your capacity at your facility here on Stockdale Highway?
Yes, sir.
Where on Stockdale is that? 317.
It's on McDonald. Stockdale and McDonald.
McDonald, okay. Just by FedEx.
Yeah, right by FedEx.
Okay.
Our capacity is small. We cap out at 16.
16?
But
you have at capacity now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we've been at capacity the day we opened our doors.
I figured you might be, but I wasn't sure. I was going to give you some more of it.
Yeah, the day we went public, we spent a month prepping. The day we had our grand opening, we were slammed, which is very anticipated. But we don't rely entirely off of our adoption center. We coordinate with the community, we set up all of our foster homes, and we do in-house training for our kitten fosters. So we don't just, people don't come up to us and say, hey, I can adopt a kitten, or foster a neonate kitten. We train them. They go through a full program. They do about 40 hours at our center volunteering with our current cats in-house. And once we deem that they're good, then we'll provide them with kittens. And we also supply them fully logistically.
Just to give you an example of how strict they are, Penny the kitten is a long story. She went back while I had surgery, and then she came back to my house about a week ago. But when I dropped her off, I had already made up some what I call KMR, and I mistakenly made more than I needed. So I took it with me, and I gave it to Daniel, and I wrote KMR mixed on such and such a date on the side. And Daniel says, well, is it actually KMR? I said, well, it's actually that other brand. He goes, well, is it the neonate or is it the weaning formula? I go, well, it's the weaning formula. He goes, well, the weaning formula is actually a little bit more orange than that. I mean, he caught me red-handed. I was trying to pass off a mixture of off-brand weaning and neonate formula as KMR, and he caught me red-handed. So that's how meticulous and strict they are about their policies. You know, their sick room is very clean. So I'm also impressed. One other thing I forgot to mention is spaying and neutering. They're using critters.
Critters here tonight?
Mm-hmm. So, and that's one of the areas that they need funding for. I'm kind of addressing this comment to Sue.
We're already paying for.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I've had quite a number of bills from SOX
as well. Oh, well, I'm behind the game. Okay. So cool.
Being
helped. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay, anyway. So what is the foster, the person that's charged with fostering at Animal Services, what is that person's name?
Deanna.
I've never met Deanna. Have you ever been there? Have you met Deanna? Do you know her?
Have you met Director Cullen?
You need to meet everybody down there. You need to go on a tour, and maybe you guys can network in some way. Because the thing of it is, you know, our euthanasia report, year to date, we had to euthanize 1,198 animals. I'm not sure, I guess it's cats and or dogs. Year to date, now it's improved by 17%. But still, 1,198 animals because they're too young is the most heartbreaking reason to euthanize an animal. So we're glad you're here. You need to get involved with county and city and everybody else. And I don't know all the ropes and all the different brands that someone smarter than me that would know those things, maybe Nick. But just basically pick as many brands as you can, and you're going to be successful because you're filling a niche that we need filled. And I'm glad that you're here.
We do work with SPCA San Francisco and Sacramento. We pull from their TPS list on PTS list as well.
Okay.
But we want to bring it more local and proximal to where we're at. One of the inside jokes that we say is we're trying to take over all of California one cat at a time.
Good.
We currently have satellite adoption centers, one in Victorville. We're establishing one in LA County. We're moving into Tulare County. We have an adoption satellite in Hanford and Porterville. So we're expanding and growing. We recently just got about 115 applications for volunteers. and about 30 applications for fosters, which we're all trying to vet, go through, and then still apply all the training to it. One thing I forgot to mention is our facility is staffed 24/7. It's either by myself or the executive director, Melanie, over there. She wanted to.
You're there 24/7.
So we have volunteers. They come in, they rotate out because of the neonates. They have to feed every 2 to 3 hours, 4 hours. So they're there all day nonstop. And then for us, it's difficult to acquire these type of volunteers. We actually run them through a background check.
Yeah.
Just because they're there after hours, and some of them, even though they know each other, we want to make sure that our volunteers are safe as well. So we are there 24/7. We don't let the public know too much about that, because we do get drop-offs, so we have to mitigate that as well.
Well, I'm glad we know, because that's interesting. Like I said, you're filling a niche that we need filled desperately. So anyway, I would just pick everybody's brain that's here, because there's a lot of smart people here that could possibly help you. And so anyway, appreciate everything. And that's it. Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner Tanger? I just want to say I think you guys are doing a great job. Are you also adopting out of PetSmart as well? I was going to say, I saw them there tonight, so I noticed the name on there said Sox Rescue, so that's great.
And as you mentioned, for picking everyone's brain, we come into this knowing that we don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And we ask for any type of support that anyone is willing to offer. We welcome it. We don't know everything, and we know that we can use as much help as possible, whether from the city, the county, or any other private entity. We just need help. One of the things we always talk about with any type of coalition partner is that whether we're municipal, private, city-run, government-run, we're all in it for one thing, and that's to save as many lives as possible. And that's one thing we want to get across as well, is we all want to strive for that one goal of saving as many cats. And we still work with Molly's a little bit, as many dogs as possible.
Okay. I'd like to clarify something. You said that you're obtaining animals in the Bay Area. You're getting them and bringing them down here? Or you've got a satellite up there that's dealing with them?
No, they transferred some of their PTS down here.
Okay. I would just like it if you were working in Kern County, that you were dealing with Kern County issues.
We take them in as much as possible, but every now and then we'll get a senior 11 years old up there that's ready to be put to sleep, and we can't say no.
Right. Okay.
So just the special needs.
It's a special needs. It's not their just general population.
Okay.
Because you're working with the city, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're working with the city and pulling from there too.
Okay.
I've been trying to get them over to the county, but you know, my whip only cracks so far.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll throw this at you because I saw this over the weekend. There's this animal shelter down in Arizona, I believe, that is actually utilizing senior citizens in some of their local senior citizen homes to help with fostering of animals, the babies and stuff, bottle feeding and things like that. So that's, I'll throw that at you.
Yeah, we've recently put an outreach to the local senior living homes, but we haven't gotten anything back yet.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions in the audience? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Okay. Third table, Liz? We have anything
tonight? Okay. Sue? Still not steady. Sue Bennett, Kern Humane Society. Just a real brief review. We start our year on June 1st. The end of the year is May 31st. Since June 1st, we've written 1,675 vouchers. November 1st and today, I have paid bills, including ones for socks, for 247 cats and dogs, of which 169 were cats. We are seeing a degree of drop-off in the dogs, I believe, because of the success of the spay-neuter programs that have been going on. I think we're getting, certainly we'll never get to the end, but I think we're getting to a point where what we're seeing is the people who would have already done it, and it, although I still get, what did I tell you, Liz? 159 people came in last Saturday to pick up 250 vouchers. The point is that of the 250 vouchers, I'm paying for 227, 28, 29. And so you're looking at a huge use of what we have. Most of the ones that don't get used are for cats that were feral cats that they're working on trapping. So that's, I was going to bring my pile.
I was going to ask you, where is it?
I never thought of it before, but I have a pile of vouchers that have been returned, and it's this deep. And I was going to bring it and say, see, this is how many people we've done. But I'll do that next month or in January. It's kind of fun to see that kind of stuff. You know, they told Liz that volunteers hear that, but numbers and visual is two different things. So that's where we are.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Last table? Anybody? Way back in the back? Okay. All right, that concludes public presentations. All right, on to staff announcements.
My glasses. I have to admit.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, if I could start off, was it Daniel and Melinda?
Melanie.
My name is Nick. I'm the director of the County of Kearns Animal Services, and I'm going to be the wet blanket because I have to. One of the commissioners had mentioned that there is a lack. And a lack of feline rescues in Kern County and Bakersfield, and there was a need, and I cannot agree with that more. You know, historically, our department, it wasn't only 5 years ago that we were literally putting down 21,000 animals a year, and a lot of those were cats. There was a point where we were putting down about 8 to 9 out of every 10 cats that came into our facility. We've kind of turned that around a bit through various programs, but there's always been a necessity. There hasn't always been an organization that was able to help on the magnitude that we face, both with city and county. That's not to say there haven't been organizations that have tried. Whereas the County of Kern operates a sheltering mechanism in Kern County, 3 animal shelters in Kern County, we also have an enforcement arm as well. We enforce the laws that exist. So if I'm going to be the wet blanket, it's please know your limitations. Enforce those limitations. Understand that you are in the county, the county's jurisdiction. So there is a gal that's sitting behind you, 2 tables behind you, who's in uniform. Her name is Senior Officer Suck. She might be somebody who you might want to make contact with. And just ask her about the facility, about the regulations that exist and laws that exist in the County of Kern to make sure that you're in compliance with those. Because, like I said, there is a need, and there has been a need for a while. But in order to do the most good for the most amount of animals, you want to make sure that you're in compliance with the laws that exist to allow you to continue to do the most good for the most animals. I hate to be the wet blanket. Again, sometimes that's my job.
That's good advice.
But that being said, you know, we as an organization, we're aware of Sox Rescue for some time now. I live right down the block from Sox Rescue, so I saw when you guys opened. And, you know, like I said, there's one of the commissioners that mentioned that there's really no animal feline rescues that exist to support the demand. And Cat People is one of the only existing ones, and they do it well. And they have done it well for a while, and they're very communicative, and I would implore you folks to do the same. I'll get off my soapbox now. Okay, moving on to the director's report. Business as usual. Our rescue program, successful as always. The month of October saw 153 animals go to rescue organizations. Our foster program continues to go strong. Month of October saw 122 animals enter the foster care program. We still maintain about 200 animals at any given time. You know, I think I mentioned this last month too, but we're on pace to reduce overall euthanasia in county shelters by about 1,300 animals this year over last year. It is not a coincidence that the foster care program is responsible for about 1,100 animals entered into the foster program over that period of time. So it's not a coincidence that we've reduced euthanasia by 1,300 animals and 1,100 animals have entered the foster program. The foster program is important. And we've known that for a while. Our TNR program is going strong. As of this printing, we're at 4,973 cats placed through the or put through the TNR program. We've eclipsed 5,000 cats, though, as of now, November 16th. I think that's pretty cool that in, you know, less than 3 years, 5,000 cats that would have otherwise been put down were not. Spay and neuter, we did have two clinics. We actually wrapped up our grant. We had received a grant through the Petco Foundation to run targeted spay and neuter in the city of Lamont. And the target was, I believe, 350 spay and neuter surgeries in the city of Lamont throughout the grant cycle. And these two last clinics on October 13th and the 14th, they allowed us to meet our 350 surgery goal. 350 spay and neuter surgeries in the city of Lamont is pretty significant. And I think I've said it last month, and I'm sure Senior Officer Sugg back there can attest to this, that we've done some sweeps in the city of Lamont. And we're sort of the situation has changed in Lamont. Not so much in loose dogs, but the loose dogs that we do find are fixed. So that's a good thing. That's progress in my opinion.
The literalist a lot, you're done. You're
we've satisfied that grant, yes.
For now? Okay.
Our vaccination clinics are still going strong. Please, word of mouth is very important for our vaccination clinics, especially for people that have never been here before. Every Wednesday between the hours of 5 and 6:30, we offer vaccines at a reduced cost. We do offer feline vaccines as well. I believe our vaccination cost is $5 for those feline vaccinations, Mr. Smith.
What was that again? I was looking at this, so I wasn't. I'm sorry, I was not glued to every word.
Our charge for our feline vaccinations went from $3 to $5. Is that correct?
They're
$10. Okay, so $10 for our feline vaccinations. You could share that with your clientele. And like I said, every Wednesday between 5 and 6:30 p.m., we have a vaccination clinic right at the Fruitvale Animal Shelter. And we also have various off-site Saturday morning and afternoon clinics where anybody can receive those same core vaccinations.
City people can go to some of those and receive some things at those clinics, too.
They can purchase those vaccinations as well, yes. They just can't get a license from the county.
And they don't get rabies because the rabies is tied to
right.
The license.
But they can get the core vaccination.
cats can get rabies though, right? Cats can get the rabies shot
because it's not tied to a license.
Because it's not tied to a license. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My question: cats can. Yes, cats can.
Our adoptions are still going strong. 443 animals were adopted in the month of October. Again, we're on pace to adopt about 5,100 animals this year, which is far and away more than we've ever seen before. Year to date, you see 4,461 animals have been adopted. Again, like I said, we'll eclipse 5,000 pretty easily. We have as I've said many times, there's no shortage of promotions for adoptions in Kern County Animal Services. We are currently in Home for the Holidays adoptions. I believe we're at $40 for dogs and $20 for cats. It's not on this because it was in November, but I want to talk about it. Our staff came up with a very, I think, brilliant, smart idea. We had an election event on November 8th.
Yes.
We called it the Race to the Right House.
That's a good one.
It was really, yes.
We
brilliant.
That was our staff that came up with that. And we even sent out a press release where we talked about what we thought of third-party candidates, which were rabbits. And it was very cute, but the most important thing was that we got a good response from the public. We stayed open late. We stayed open until 8 p.m., and we affected 81 adoptions on November 8th.
Wow.
And literally about 60 of those 80 adoptions occurred between the hours of 5 and 8 p.m.
Wow.
So people went and adopted, and people went and voted, and then they came to adopt them. And I'll probably talk about this again in January, depending on what happens in December, but I'll probably talk about it again in January. We also had an exit poll. As people adopted animals, we asked them to declare whether or not they voted for dogs, cats, or other. I can tell you that the exit poll showed that the favor was for dogs. But we did get one vote for goats. It was a write-in vote.
It must be the independent, huh?
Yes. It was a fourth party. Our Petco partnership, you can see that we've totaled 231 animals through the Petco partnership. Those are adopted through Petco stores. I believe last month I was asked a question, how many were done year-to-date? I said it was 500 and some odd. That was incorrect. We had included our Pets for Vets adoptions with the Petco adoptions, which puts us around 560 or so. But strictly Petco, we have cats adoptable in the Petco locations. There's two Petco stores, one on Gosford, one on Rosedale Highway. 231 cats have found their adoptive homes through Petco. It's funny too. It's a cool thing to have because like I was walking past the office this morning. There was a gentleman outside. Today's Wednesday. We're open late on Wednesdays. We don't open until 2 for adoptions. And there was a gentleman who was looking to adopt a cat. I don't know if it's just cat people, but I swear it was a 30-minute conversation that should have been about 5 minutes. But he proceeded to tell me that his daughter was looking for a cat. He wanted to adopt a cat, but he was disappointed that we were not open until 2, which was 9 o'clock in the morning. But I directed him over to Petco, and, you know, they're open 9 to 9 or something like that every day. So it was a nice option to be able to say, hey, if you're looking to adopt a cat from Kern County Animal Services, go to one of the Petco locations. And he told me he would. So I thought that was a pretty cool outcome of that. Also, as you can see, we did have a promotion, surprise, surprise, in the month of October, Howling for Homes. It was super successful. As you can see, we adopted 443 animals in the month of October. We did reduce adoption fees, as is the norm. Our volunteer program is still going strong. Our volunteer coordinator is not here tonight, but 2,248 hours total in the month of October. That is equivalent to approximately 13 full-time staff members. A cash value of about $52,000 given back to the county. You know, the funny thing is, I mean, I don't want to brag, but if anybody looks on the Kern County website now has a portal for volunteerism in the county of Kern.
Oh, nice.
And the reason why they're doing that, if you ask me, and nobody has, but if you ask me, it's because of the success of the Animal Services Volunteer Program, that we have 150 people that are coming out to support the department and do jobs that we don't have the time to do, saving the county money, that it's obvious that the county as a whole can take advantage of that need and that want of the public to support some of the departments that do the jobs. So, like I said, volunteer program, super important. Our field services activities, you'll see 1,468 calls for service were seen in the month of October. You won't see this change very often, so I'll just repeat myself that Northeast Bakersfield and Northwest Bakersfield, Northeast is East Bakersfield, Northwest is mostly the Oildale area, were the highest volume of calls that were received through field services. 14 dogs were returned to their owners in the field in the month of October. That is a result typically of a microchip or some sort of identification. 85 animals, dogs were secured back on property by animal control officers. Again, that's simply an officer that finds a dog, either speaks to a neighbor or is able to find out where that animal belongs and is able to secure it back on property themselves without necessarily making contact with an animal owner. Again, those are almost 100 animals that could have come into the shelter that didn't, and that's the name of the game.
Colin, does that 85 include animals quarantined on their owner's property?
No. Those are simply loose animals that an officer picks up and is able to secure back on property. It's usually something simple like a gate left open Sometimes we're out there with the hammer and nails, but most of the time, it's just a gate that's left open. I wanted to touch on a little bit. So, you know, we try to adapt animal services. You know, we try to look at what we do and figure out how we can do it better. Thankfully, we have a good staff, especially supervisors who grasp that idea and are wanting to do a better job and are wanting to change things. And we recognize that in our department, just like any other county agency, we have silos within our department. You know, we have shelter staff, we have field staff, we have administrative staff, we have shelter staff. We have a lot of different silos within our department. Well, if you notice, you know, our success has mostly been tied to shelter. You know, we've instituted and created programs to help animals get out alive, and we've instituted programs to better maintain the animals in the facility. But, you know, sometimes the overall goal is not only just to get animals out alive, but to prevent animals from coming in the first place. And what we're trying to do now is we're trying to look into our field services wing, you know, our officers, our people that are out in the community, try to determine if what they do on a daily basis needs to be reviewed and changed to some extent based on sort of the nature and the climate of animal welfare in the county. And we think it does. And by that I mean we're trying to take on a more community policing approach with our officers. And what I mean by that is you know, we're looking at organizing. You know, we haven't solidified it yet, but myself and the senior staff are looking at organizing community frequently asked questions, involvement, sort of events in hotspot areas where we have a lot of complaints, where the public can come out and meet their local animal control officer who works that area and ask them questions about laws that exist and tell them about the problems that they have in their area and their neighborhood. Meet the officer who works that area, meet the senior officer who works that area, talk to the director who manages that staff to start to get more of that community engagement, that community involvement, and you know, sort of make sure that the public understands that your animal control officer who works your area is there to help, and we're not the dog catchers anymore. You know, we do a lot more than what the public realizes, and we've discussed a lot that the only way to change communities' perception is to show them that you do more. And that's some of the things that we're starting to look at. And I know that the animal control officers have come and expressed an interest to be more involved in the success of getting animals out alive. And if they can showcase adoptable animals in the field, and they can take days out of their normal duties where they're not constantly being burdened with the enforcement aspect of things, and that they can take advantage of seeing the animal come into the facility, but having a part in it getting out of the facility too. So I think that's a part of the department's progression as a whole. And I look forward to bringing that to the Animal Services Commission and explain some of the inner workings and the progressive thoughts of the field services wing of our department. And that'll be in the very near future. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Anybody?
My questions are actually from meeting before last, because I wasn't here last week, and I don't know. I was looking at the summary proceedings to kind of get an idea. It looks like Jerry talked about the euthanization of public animals regarding Lock versus Kern County, but it doesn't say in the summary what the actual discussion was. So can you give me like a two-second version?
I don't know about 2 seconds, but the question had come up from, I think it was Liz Keough. A question had come up 2 meetings ago, whether or not the county can, and if they can't, why not, offer owner-requested euthanasia. The preliminary answer at the time from council and myself was that the county is under an injunction to not allow that to happen. So council went back, did some research, looked at the Locke decision, and did determine that there is still an injunction in effect that prevents us from allowing that. But there is some discussion about how that can be alleviated in the future.
When you say there is some discussion, does that mean there's action being taken, or is there something that we can do to make that happen?
Not at the moment. It's just a discussion between council and the department at this point. Okay. And it, there, you know,
I'll ask you every month. That's okay.
There's more to it than simply, you know, what the law allows or what the injunction means to the department. It's, you know, whether or not the department feels that that's a necessity that the public would take advantage of. I hate to say it, but there, you know, the job of an animal care worker is difficult enough. The last thing we want to do is to put more animals down than we already do. So that's a delicate decision and situation to come to realization, but it's one of those things where we determine whether or not it's a need and whether or not that need is great in the community, and if it is, and it seems like it is, then we can look into offering that service. But at the moment, it's not something that we can legally offer to the public.
Okay.
Is that about accurate, Liz? Is that the answer that Jerry gave?
As I recall, yes. But I think Sue might contribute to this discussion because, as you know, the city does accept animals only requested euthanizations. And I believe they don't charge for it.
Oh, yeah, right. They do.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Two separate things, though, Liz. If they go to the animal shelter, then they become SPCA property, and SPCA charges $65. If their need for a humane euthanasia by the animal services officer, then there is no charge. If there is a determination in the field that a humane euthanasia needs to be done. So the animal is not part of, does not become part of the SPCA property, however you want to term it. But otherwise, the people who live in the county are coming to us for assistance with paying for the SPCA charge of $65.
And I believe Kern is the only municipality that does not offer this. Am I correct in that assumption?
It's not the only one, but there are some. Yeah, there are a few that don't. But yeah,
Jerry,
in my investigation, most of them do.
Jerry did say that one of the problems is that we are still under requirement of holding the animal for the mandated amount of time, and that doesn't guarantee that the animal will not be adopted out.
And
I had to listen to it twice, so I know.
That's the fundamental aspect of the Hayden Law. I don't know if the discussion...
Duncan is such a good example
it's so difficult
of
about.
The Animal Services Center making a decision that may or, you know, you don't want to have that happen. You don't want to have somebody bring in a dog and say, this dog, people fall asleep, and then it turns out to be the neighbor's dog. You know what I'm saying? So you do have some
There's a lot of concerns.
There are some things. Whereas if they're paying, they're a little more careful. But, it's costing us a lot of money to put dogs to sleep. I will tell you that. It's costing us anywhere up to $900 a month.
Wow. But to answer your question, mm-hmm. Commissioner Madigan, the answer is no right now. But.
All right. Well, I wanted to hear the answer, and I didn't have a chance to listen to the recording. We also talked a little bit about the retention program, and it was going to start on October 3rd. Mm-hmm. Is that up and running?
It is. It's not receiving the response that we would hope for, but to be honest with you, I think the resources and the effort that should be put into that program to sort of carry out what we wanted it to be. We haven't put that effort in just yet. You know, we receive very sporadic, few and far between requests from the public. Some of them are a little odd, like, you know, guinea pigs and geckos and chameleons and how you can help me overcome some issues I'm facing with those animals.
They can call me about the guinea pigs. I don't want them, but I can tell them.
But again, our intent was to set up that sort of hotline, that phone number and that email address for people that are feeling like they need to surrender their animal and want some advice on how to keep their animal. But again, we haven't put in the effort towards that program to better promote it, better market it, and sort of evolve it to what we do want it to be. But that's something that Field Services has come forward and said that they think that they have some ideas for that program as well. And I think that's sort of the natural evolution of it.
Can I chime in just for one sec? My limited experience sitting in the intake room and watching people come in when is that by the time they get there, they've already made up their mind they don't want the animal. And when you ask, is there some way we can help, you know, is it food, is it vet expense, is it talking to the neighbor, they say no. The idea is to have these people talk with us before they've reached that final decision, which at that point for them is firm. Am I sort of accurate, Colin?
Absolutely. You know, we knew that at the outset of the Happy at Home program that it would have to be done in stages. The name of the game is preventing the animal from coming to the shelter in the first place. And like Ms. Keogh just said, to capture somebody at the time that they enter our doors is not the time to prevent that from happening. You know, I don't know about most of you in this room, but I love my animals. And if I'm coming to a shelter to surrender that animal, I have already exhausted every other opportunity. And if I get there, it's taken a lot of courage for me to get there. And the last thing I'm going to want to do is to answer more questions about why I'm surrendering my animal. Time to answer those questions is weeks before. So it's a transition to get from where we are right now, which is trying to obtain the information from those people that are in that need and figure out what the most common reasons are, which we've gotten to that point and we kind of have an idea of what those reasons are. And to capture those people in advance to offer some resources and some ability to keep their animal. And we've had some success stories. Very few, but we have. And it's having the effect that we wanted. We wanted to be able to have somebody come to us, give them some resources to keep them for longer, and then sort of watch the evolution of that person because they become a lifelong supporter of your agency, of your cause, when you're able to allow them to keep that family member for longer. So it's worked, it's just haven't worked enough. And again, part of me believes that it needs, you know, some financial support to offer people some support in areas that have to do with pet, if they're moving to a non-pet friendly house and they're required to put a pet deposit down, you know, those sort of financial assistance programs that is much more broad and in depth than the program that we have right now. So it needs a lot more thought. It needs a lot more effort and resources from our department to be able to figure out how to get to the people, how to extract that information from them, and how to help them the best. Because our ultimate goal is to get to the point where we don't take surrenders over the counter on a daily basis. You know, we want to get to the point where if you're a county resident and you need to surrender your animal, you need to have an interview with somebody and determine what the problem is before we even decide we're going to accept that animal. But there's a gap between where we want to be and where we are right now, because I'm very firm in the belief that would alienate a lot of people, and to get to that point, it needs to be a progression. So that's sort of the struggle that we're having right now, especially with staffing issues. I hope that answers your question.
Yes. And did you get the x-ray machine?
We did not get an x-ray machine as of yet. Kind of looking at Judy over here to see. I don't know that.
I haven't heard anything since we get, you know, for what's going on with that, except for how expensive it is.
Yeah, we got an idea of what it's going to cost.
Yeah,
and it's costly, yeah. But I think the next step is to organize, you know, some
fundraisers.
Yes, some fundraisers.
Yeah.
Some,
yeah.
Cool. No information on that. Okay.
Thank you.
Can't spare money. It's like $66,000.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a discounted. Yeah. $66,000.
Right. Yeah, my thing's
is there anything online that someone who's contemplating giving up their animal or relinquishing their animal? Is there anything online that would help them find that would give them information?
We have some very basic tips on, you know, animal care and how to address minor issues. It's not on our website with the intent to keep someone's animal at home. It's the intent to assist people with animals they already own or that have just adopted from us. We have and another answer to that question is we're working with the county's ITS department to completely revamp and redo our website. Oh. And that's a portion of it that we had a very lengthy discussion about. But no, there is not enough information available on our website to give somebody the tools they need to keep their animal longer. We did, you know, add a page that I believe is blank for pet retention. But again, we're the county's been very supportive of our department in trying to. Yes. There is a link, it is blank though. But the county has been very supportive, and I'm sure Mr. Smith can attest to this, that pretty much anything Animal Services has needed along the way, even in a tight financial crisis, we've been blessed enough to be given that from the county as a whole. And one of those things is completely revamping of our website, and they've heard our requests and what the public needs, what the department needs to facilitate those needs from the public. And so that hopefully will be something that I can bring forward to the commission in the next few months, is a completely new website, user-friendly, with all the information that folks need, so that they don't have to call and stay on hold for 15 or 20 minutes to find out an answer to a simple question.
The city does have a retention program with some resources. I don't know how extensive it is, but they do have something similar.
Who?
The city.
And I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay. And I appreciate the fact that you're getting the field staff more involved. They're kind of the unsung heroes, and they need to get more involved, and I'm looking forward to what you guys all come up with. So thank you for looking into that.
Commissioner Taggart? I just wanted to throw out there a real quick kudos to Jeff George for his video on the election. It was awesome. So I just wanted to put that out there and say you guys are doing a great job.
We always wonder if people watch those.
Yeah, oh yeah. The Facebook's a big one, and I'll tell you, I think a lot of people see that stuff. So that's it.
Hey, your turn.
I have no comments. I'm just kidding.
What?
Just kidding. I tell you what, my first out-of-the-box comment is I really appreciate your innovation that I see going on here, because this is innovation that we have not seen before in a director of animal services ever, and probably very few in the state that I know of. You're really being innovative, Nick, and that's really what it boils down to. And one of the things we learned from Nathan Winograd is be innovative, promote, do your marketing, think outside the box. And that's what you're doing. Is there room for improvement? Of course. But, I mean, you're doing a lot of great things on the innovation. I like that. That's excellent. I like the idea about the officers getting involved with the public. A lot of the public thinks that the county doesn't care, or when they call animal services, they get a recorder, or nobody calls them back. So what you're doing is you're changing that. You're saying, okay, we're going to meet. You're going to meet the officer in that section, and you're going to meet the officer's superior also. And I think that's great.
You know, let me step in there for a second.
Go ahead,
Commissioner Blackburn. I would love to take all the credit, but I got to honestly say that all of the good that's come out of county's animal services and all the good that will come out of it doesn't come from me. It comes from the people that come into work every day and do the job. All the ideas that we come up with, all the promotions, the ideas to connect with the community more, to change the way they do their job. This is truly a department, an agency who realizes that they're in a very passionate field and recognizes the weaknesses and comes forth with ideas on how to improve that. And if there's anything that I would be credited for, it is not creating those ideas. It's simply making it an environment where people feel they can come forward with some ideas on how to improve the agency. So I appreciate the kudos, but I can't take
it. Well, I mean, you deserve a lot of credit, but when I do give you credit, you're the face of the department. So, I mean, it's really the whole department.
Oh, that's scary.
You're doing a great job. I like the idea of the portal for volunteers on your webpage, or is it the county?
It's the county website.
County webpage. I think that's excellent. If you go to Nathan Winograd's webpage, it'll probably take you two full days constantly to read his webpage, because there's link after link after link after link of things. So all kinds of stories on there. So yeah, I think building up your webpage is really, really important. You know, one time you told me you were brainstorming with other department heads on things that you guys, ideas you guys could share. Could you give us any more input on if that's happened anymore or what you may have learned from that process? Is that, you said you were sharing ideas?
On how to improve general county operations or the department operations?
I don't know. Just maybe people, other departments that are helping, trying to help you with your department or sharing of ideas. I don't know. You know, we're doing some brainstorming.
I'm not real sure if I'm a very short memory. I'm not real sure if I remember what I was specifically may have been referring to in that conversation, but I do know that, several months back, specifically in December of last year, when the department made a presentation to the Board of Supervisors, and we publicly said, it's our goal to achieve no kill, to stop killing adoptable animals. We gave a goal in 2020. I had sent out a department-wide email just to state, this is the department's goal, and you all play a part in it. The county administrative office took that email, because I copied him on it, because he's my boss, and he sent it to all of the county departments. And the response that I received from the other county departments, how can we help?
Okay.
Was overwhelmed.
That's what I'm talking about.
And out of that, there were some partnerships. The Kern County Libraries came forward to us. We've worked several times in the past 6 months or so on programs, our reading program most specifically. The County Veterans Department has come forward and said, how can we assist? How can we work together to fix the problem that you guys face? And there's, the Department of Human Services has come forward and said, how can we help? So I think it's a shared goal for the entire county, and I think that's maybe what you were referring to.
That's exactly what I was talking about, but you can see kind of how this whole thing has become really contagious to where, you made the announcement and people said, okay, how can we help? So you can see how this thing is really gaining traction in a variety of levels, so that's excellent. I want to ask you a question when you were talking about silos. I want to make sure I understand that comment. Again, what were you referring to?
It's just that any agency that you run, we all don't do the same job. We all have different jobs. We have shelter staff that is responsible to care for the animals that are in our custody, and they, affect adoptions. But then we have another department within the department, which is our enforcement wing, and they enforce the laws, and they pick up animals in the public, and they quarantine, and they provide public safety, if you ask me. And then we have our administrative staff that, handles the behind the scenes, the billing and the cash handling and things like that. And we have our veterinary silo, if you will, our veterinary department within our department that provides veterinary care for the animals in our facility, and is all different silos within a department that when you put them all together, they kind of give you that final result. And our volunteers as well, yourselves included, that contribute to that as well. So that's what I meant by silos. That is okay. Just many
that's
different
document.
Parts to
like resources.
The mechanism that works.
Okay. We were talking to Aaron Malloy at Petco on Gosford. He said if we had another set of cubbies for six animals, just like the one that's there, he would let us put it in there. I talked to David Couch. He didn't know of anything else in inventory, but if anybody here knows of another set of cubbies that might be very similar to the one at Petco, they'll let us put it in, and we can put in not six animals, but 12. And they're doing a good job. We've seen the numbers. They also give, as we mentioned last month, they give out a gift booklet for discounts on food and supplies and different things like that. And I understand they were going to give the county some of those same gift books for every adoption that this place, that the new owner gets a booklet with the gift.
That discussion had happened, but the
hasn't
actuality
happened.
Hasn't.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll follow that up. But they give out this booklet with every adoption at Petco. And I think that was it. Let me just make sure. Yeah, that's all. Thank you very much.
If I could just add one thing before I take my seat. Wax poetic here. About 3-4 years ago, Kern County Animal Services was invited to go down to Los Angeles and take part in the Best Friends Animal Adoption event. They have it every year. And it's at the La Brea Tar Pits, the big park over there. And we were invited, and we brought We went 2 days. It was a Saturday and a Sunday in June or July of, I think, 2013. And we adopted out just about every last animal we brought down. We probably brought 100 animals out there, and they were snapped up. But the thing that we held on to at the time was there were so many people there. There were so many different organizations that were there to promote their own organization within the county of Los Angeles and their adoptable animals and showcase what they're doing. There was, you know, private organizations that were offering all kinds of services for pets, you know, grooming, boarding, training, whatever. And it was just a massive pet adoption event. But beyond that, what you saw was just the community that came out to take advantage of those services. Some of them even came out just to see the adoptable animals, not necessarily adopt anything. But that feeling of the community coming out and recognizing the animal welfare agencies in the L.A. County area was amazing. And what we've always felt is that why can't Kern County be like that? You know, why can't Bakersfield and Kern County be like that? There's no reason why we can't. So, you know, we've come to this realization. We're working with the city of Bakersfield to, and it's very preliminary, but to put together a massive pet adoption event in Kern County that involves not just the county of Kern and the city of Bakersfield, but other municipalities within Kern County, Delano, McFarland, you know, Ridgecrest, Shelter on the Hill, all agencies that we all do the same thing. And to bring us together, and the goal isn't necessarily to adopt out every last animal, more of it is to show the public that there's agencies that are doing this work in the county, recognize them, realize them, and adopt from them. And it's something we want to do. We're shooting for the late April. We're actually looking for sponsors, and we're looking for venues where we can have it. But it's been something that we've thought about for a while now. And we've reached out to the city of Bakersfield. They're absolutely in on it. Julie and I are going to work towards making it come to fruition. But I think it's something that would be really good for the county of Kern, just to literally put a stamp on it and say, hey, we're...
People like Socks, private rescues also?
Well, we'll include everybody that's willing to come out and promote their own cause. Because like I said, regardless of who you are, if you're involved in animal welfare in the county and you're doing it well, I mean, we're all doing the same thing. We're all fighting for the same goal. Look forward to that somewhere around April next year.
I did have one more question. Two more comments. I think you're doing an excellent job on adoptions. I mean, I've ran the numbers here. The adoptions are really, really huge compared to this time last year. We're at a 35% increase, county dogs and cats, over last year. 1,109 more animals were adopted year-to-date than last year, year-to-date. Excellent. I know you're doing a lot of different promotions and things. I was wondering if you had much pushback, since you raised the fees from, you know, you doubled it, $40 for dogs and $20 for cats. Has there been much in the way of pushback from citizens on the price?
Not at all.
Not at all.
We did see, I mean, still, we had increased adoption fees in October, so it's been barely 6 weeks. Not enough information to be able to say indicatively one way or another. Okay. It's been probably anecdotally less than it was the year before, but there's, like I said, there's just not enough data to be able to draw any conclusions.
Not enough time yet. No. Okay. You touched on owner surrender, and I know there's a lot of education that you're trying to do to these owners and trying to figure out a way around them surrendering their animal, and they've probably already exhausted all their resources that they have. I thought it was interesting that year-to-date on dogs is almost the same number as last year, 1161 versus 1180, but on cats, that number has gone down by 42% on cats. I think that's great. It's unfortunate the dogs haven't reduced any. I don't know why, but the cat surrender has gone down. So,
would part of that be because of the TNR?
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah.
It could be. I mean, there's a lot of things that'll skew those numbers sometimes. We do, especially this year, we have had, you know, some large scale criminal seizures that come in.
That's true.
And more often than not, yeah. Although not recently, but more often than not, the dogs are easier to deal with. Yeah, and even more often than not, those end up being a surrender. So that could skew those numbers a bit, but it's an ebb and flow. It's up and down all the time. It'd be tough to draw conclusions there.
I'd be remiss if I didn't go over the live outcome percentages that I normally do, and I forgot to mention it. Last year at this time, we were saving 54% of combination of dogs and cats. 54% came out alive. This year, year-to-date, it's 64, not counting the others. I take those out of the equation, but we're up to 64%, which is a 10% improvement from last year. That's good. We still have a ways to go, but that's a good improvement, and it's because of all these other things you're doing, the adoption, the rescuing, the fostering is up, and all these other things are great. So anyway, congratulations on 10 percentage points. That's hard in an area, with a facility. You can't turn anybody away. I mean, you have to accept everything. So that's really, really good to go up by 10 percentage points. And that is my final comment. Thank you.
And I just want to say that as we're closing out this year, approaching the end, that you may not want to take the credit, but I have to say that for those of us that have been in this fight since the beginning, you have been not just a breath of fresh air, but you are changing the culture at Animal Services. And that is the most important thing, because the culture is putting the animals first and the community first. And I think that we have to be able to attribute that to your leadership. So I want to thank you.
Amen.
He hates
that.
Mark Reed and time. Okay, let's see here. Volunteer update, Jeff's not here. We have our spay neuter funds update.
Very good, right?
And I didn't
put a report on your.
Well, I stole it from the back. Yeah. I stole it from the back.
I got one here too.
Does anybody else need one of these?
Just because I haven't seen
it. It's maybe $200,000. You got it. Okay. All right. Okay. For the record, I am Blake Smith, the business manager. And we're just barely started, but I think we're off to a good start. We've had 190 vouchers redeemed. We're running at about, depending on where I do the cutoff, we're running at about 65 to 70% redemption on them so far this year. And we have issued over 400 vouchers since we started. So we're off to a good start. And see, on the outlying area, we haven't done anything there yet because we've been trying to finalize all of our outlying efforts with Lamont, and I'm glad we've achieved that. And we've been doing lots of TNR. TNR's going like crazy, and it's really nice to have more of these being done in-house in our own surgery suite. And then on the second page, have monthly donations in 2015 versus 2016. And I just went in and took a quick glance at where we are on donations so far in November. Halfway through the month, we're already at $1,216 in donations for the month of November. So we're doing really well with increased donations over last year. So people are responding to us with generosity. So, but that's it. Any questions?
I don't want to go first.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Like I told the supervisors 4 years ago that if we went no kill, we'd see donations go up because they want to support the effort. What do you attribute? I mean, you can't. If you take out December of last year, if we just go year to date, we're exactly, it was $7,708 if you just count up through November of last year. This year, we're at $15,600. We've doubled our donations. What do you attribute that to?
Well, a significant portion of that is the Eagle Scout project that we had.
And you know, he brought in a whole lot of money in donations, over about $5,500 in donations.
Who did?
The Eagle Scout.
Oh, the Eagle Scout.
He redid it. He built a fence for us. So if you've been out to the shelter lately, there's this huge chain link fence that surrounds the horse corrals. Because when we were having to close that front gate every time we wanted to unload a horse to make sure it didn't get away, so they did this. He did this fence for us, and did an amazing job. And then he had he finished it about the time that we were trying to get up and running with the surgery suite. And we had had a meeting, and they said, "Well, we've got to have a refrigerator." And I went, "Well, let's see. We need a refrigerator, and budget's tight, and I don't know what money we've got, and I'm scared because I have no idea what the impact of the surgery suite's going to be because, you know, everything's changing." I swear, every budget I've done since I've been here, I've literally just pulled numbers out of the sky. And I'd love to be able to do a budget with historical data, because we just don't have it. And so the Boy Scout came in and he said, he goes, "Yeah, I've got an extra $1,000 here that I got, and I'd love to donate to the surgery suite." And so he bought a refrigerator for us, which was cool. So, you know, we've been getting, we've gotten a lot of this done. I think that people know what we're doing, and they're calling us and saying, "I want help." We had a lady that, who is the lady that the woman who died, and the family wanted to, rather than have flowers, they wanted to donate to our shelter in lieu of flowers. We've got a dental practice that wants to start donating to us and sponsoring our events and doing some things that are rather large. So this is one of those things where it's like the snowball is starting to run down the hill and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're excited. I think it's just people know what we're doing and they respect what we're doing and they want to be a part of it.
You know, I've been bragging to people that I've talked to about the fact that we learned from Nick last month that we haven't outsourced any animals to vets around the city since the surgery spa has been open. And I tell you what, it's a really impressive spa. It looked like USC on a small scale. I mean, it was really amazing. Is that still true that we haven't?
Well, we've been outsourcing to Critters Without Litters.
Well, I know.
But other than that, we haven't done any. And last week, we did over 100 surgeries in our surgery suite.
100.
Wow. Yeah, like I think it was 101 or 102.
Fantastic. How many in years past? You know, when we did them out of the RV, I guess. I mean, how many? What was the number?
Most, we would do about 45 in a week.
45 a week.
At most.
That was a really good week.
Yeah.
That was our very good week.
And the difference is that 45 was sporadic when it did occur. What we're doing, what the medical staff is achieving now, is on a week by week basis.
Okay. And actually, we could add that to our report so you can see how many surgeries are outsourced, how many surgeries are done in house. We do that on a weekly basis.
I'm curious how much money we're saving on not having to outsource, because I know the vets are, you know, we're paying a lot of money out to do this.
About $75,000 to this point.
How much?
About $75,000 to this point.
$75,000 so far this year?
Sorry, vets paying for yourself.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then you talk about, you know, the trauma that we're not putting on these animals that are being shipped around the city.
We're hauling all over town.
Yeah. Right, I know. I mean, this is a huge thing that has happened. And I think it's wonderful and... So congratulations on that, and saving the money is the bottom line, I guess. But that's an amazing turnaround.
Yeah, the next thing I need to look at is we said what's going on with the when we were talking about getting an X-ray machine.
Oh.
It came from a newspaper article where the doctor was interviewed, and they said, "Well, what would you like?" And she goes, "No, if an animal comes in, I have to send it to a veterinarian." So I was looking at how much we paid that veterinarian, and it's substantial. So my next analysis needs to be how much of that is X-ray. If a significant portion of that is X-ray, I could probably justify figuring out some way to pay for it out of future savings from the
sure.
Yeah. It pay for itself in X amount of months.
I mean, well, if we could do like a capital lease or something like that.
Do funds or something. We could raise some. The 66 is huge, but if there was like, if you guys could put up, you know, 35, we could get the other 35. That might be something to shoot at.
So we have, I haven't had a chance to look at it. But we really need to look. That really is the next thing I need to look at, because the amount of savings we're experiencing because of doing our surgeries in-house is just mind-boggling.
Say this is another aspect of innovation. You're thinking, oh, hey, this has occurred to me. Hey, how about we get our own machine? So these are all kinds of things that are really just, like you said, snowballing. How much does a machine cost? Do you have any?
We're looking at about $70,000.
$70,000 is the number.
For an X-ray. An X-ray machine. We're looking at $70,000.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I can, like I said, I have to run the numbers.
It's going to be
cumbersome, because I have to go in and I have to learn how to read what veterinary bills are actually telling me, because it's more than just the X-ray. You know,
the animals there is the cost of taking them over there.
How much are we going to save?
Yeah.
Is more than just, you know, the one line item X-ray. So I'm going to have to work with the veterinarian to have her teach me how to read vet bills. I haven't really had to do that in depth.
Yeah.
So
then you need an X-ray technician, I guess.
Okay.
Those are the end of my questions. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Commissioners?
Yes.
I have a completely unrelated question that just occurred to me. Did we have a horse trailer stolen?
City of Bakersfield.
That was the city.
Okay. It said county on the news. Okay. Never mind.
Anything else?
Blake,
yes,
are
ma'am.
These donation numbers pure, hard, cold cash, or does it include in-kind?
I haven't included any in-kind in this. This is all pure, hard, cold cash. I have no way to evaluate how much the value of the blankets people bring in and that kind of thing.
And when Director Cullen mentioned $75,000 so far, you mean the fiscal year, not the calendar year, correct?
When we talk about $75,000, it's probably much more simplistic. So Blake calculated what it costs us to perform a surgery in-house. He calculated approximately what it costs us for outsource, and the difference was about $80. So it was about $80 for us to perform a surgery in-house, about $165 for us to outsource. We've accomplished somewhere around 900 surgeries in the surgery suite since it opened, which was late August.
So we are talking fiscal year, not January.
We're talking fiscal year.
You can talk fiscal year, but we're really just talking since the surgery was opened.
Right, so we're looking at less than a quarter of the, you know.
Okay.
So, when I started looking at the vets and the outsourcing, and, you know, went from, you know, $15,000 to $25,000 every single month, down to enough to cover the spay neuter vouchers that were taken to them, like $600. So, I mean, you look at the difference in just the brief period of time that we've had. It's just. I'm sorry, I get all goosebumpy when I think about it.
Okay, so I have a question then. Yeah, $75,000 is strictly based on the veterinary expense.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't even cover the staff, the transportation, et cetera, for you to take animals to other vets, correct? So you're saving more
money. When I did the calculation of what it would cost to do it elsewhere versus what it would cost to do it in-house, I included the cost of transport, an estimate of the cost of transport.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah.
Well, I was hoping there would just be more money.
A little more. The nice thing is that, you know, it's the shelter doesn't have to have, you know, three extra people. They have three extra people that can be doing cleaning in the morning instead of driving around town.
Right.
And that makes
That's
a
huge.
Big difference.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so then if I can make a motion to receive and file the report.
Do you have savings?
Do I have a second? All in favor?
Yeah.
Any opposed? All righty. Okay, on to commissioner announcements or reports. So we'll start at this end with Commissioner Tiger today.
I don't
know. Nothing? Okay, Commissioner Blackburn?
I had a very nice visit with the Petco people a few days ago. They're still
willing to let us use their lobby for any kind of an event that we might want, not out in the parking lot, but inside. And they're really excited to be a part of, you know, being a partner with the county on doing this, and they're going to do everything that they can do to help out. These guys are pretty innovative over there. They really are. So it was a good meeting. I talked with Tina, who's the, I guess she's considered really the groomer, but she's kind of like an assistant manager. But they're very accommodating over there. And like I said, they would give us room for another cubby of six if we come up with one. And I know there's something else I probably did, but I can't think of it offhand. So that's it. Thank you.
All right.
It's not on here, but the emergency preparedness subcommittee continues to meet up the hill, and hopefully we're going to get with Nick's team down here around the first of the year. And
just to give you a quick update on that, so our county policy for response to emergencies, disasters, is complete. I mean, the person that's been tasked with developing it has completed it.
Nice.
So we have some meetings that where more staff's going to be invited, most likely yourself included, to kind of comb over it and see if there's any changes that need to be made to it. So it's in its totality. It's finished. And we just
great.
Need to polish it up, and then we're going to go present it to the EOS and the fire department and get inclusion into the general disaster policy for the county.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I don't have anything. I'm just glad to be back.
Welcome back. Yes. I got nothing. All right. Moving on. Let's see. Old business, staff referrals, and some follow-up report, donations, and grants. Emergency prep. I covered that a little bit. Okay, we're good there. Friends.
Am I back? Okay, Judy Donnell, Friends of Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation. Mostly, well, we have a couple of things going on. We have Peggy has located a, I think it's 20 by 28 office trailer that we're potentially purchasing, maybe not, I don't know. We are setting up a meeting with Lisa and Deanna at the shelter, hopefully next week. They've gone and looked at it, and then they're all like, well, we need this and that and the other, and so we need to get together on, this is for kittens, essentially, who are...
transitional.
They're done being bottle-fed, but they're not old enough to be spayed, neutered, and adopted out yet. And so they can have a place to live that frees up your bottle feeders, essentially, is what that does. Is your bottle feeders are not feeding for 4 weeks and then still playing for 4 weeks. They can get more bottle babies through that way. And they'll be at the shelter. Volunteers can go play with them. And so they're still getting all the socialization and stuff, but just waiting until they get to the... it's a 2.5 pounds to be able to be adopted out. So we're working on that. Kern River Valley Snip and Tip. Barbara has just kicked butt up there, even with the huge interruption of that fire. She almost lost her house. She was two houses away from not having a place to live. But they got back up again. We have been also working with the Simi Valley Vet nonprofit clinic, the spay neuter clinic, and they're cutting us wonderful deals. So we did one. They did 2 days, and I think they did like 45 cats each day, 46 one day and 45 the other. But what we found was that's really hard. We have a limited number of traps. You bring the first batch the one day, and then we had to get carriers to put the cats in so they could take the traps, get them cleaned, sterilized, and out to the caregivers to trap the batch for the next day. And that was really hard. So what they did, there's a dog group up there called FIDO. I can't remember what the acronym stands for.
Fix Your Dog.
Fix Your Dog
Organization.
Organization, okay. So what we're doing is December 8 is cats, and they will do 45 cats. December 9 is dogs. December 10 is cats. So it gives us the day in the middle to be able to deal with the traps and get them back out to people. And just Monday night, Barbara had said that they didn't have enough dogs signed up, so I called her and said, well, who should they contact? She goes, oh, no. In the last couple of days, they have enough dogs. And the dog people are paying. And Simi Valley is only charging us $25 a cat. So it's going to be two grand to get these done. And all the money that's been raised for this has all been raised up in the Kern River Valley, all of it, through, somebody donated a saddle. Fortunately, the three-year-old boy who fell in love with the saddle and refused to get off of it, his father won it. So he did not get off of it. And it's just this cute picture. He climbed up on that. That was it. He was not leaving. They've taken the tag machine up there for community events and sold tags. They're having a rummage sale, just all kinds of different ways of raising money to pay for the for all the cats up there. So that's pretty much where we're at. Oh, Pets for Vets. We just did two fundraisers last week, Wednesday and Friday. Don't know what the dollar value is out of that, but we'll see. We should know.
The Tahoe Joe's was about $1,500.
It was about $1,500.
And we're not sure on the broken
yoke. But he said it was busy all day long, so that was cool. Danny was out at Broken Yoke doing live in the afternoon, so yay. we'll see where we're at with that. I think that's it.
Thank you. All right. On to new business. Okay. I guess the big question is
next month.
Do we want to go dark?
Yeah.
I haven't voted yet. I've heard several mutterings of yes. So.
Is there anything pressing that needs to be dealt with next month from the point of view of staff, the commissioners?
No, and we're going to be down to commissioners, so. Yeah. I say we go dark. Do we need to vote on that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so do I have a motion?
I make that motion.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor? Any opposed?
Opposed. Never seen a motion pass that quickly.
All righty, so then we will not meet again until January 18th of 2017. So do I have a motion?
So you have to where you are on the list. Just
do I have a second?
One second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right, we're adjourned. You guys have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Who was the second? Miss Maggie, was that you second?